Again, the first thing I want to tell you is Mr. Weiss mentioned to me he has at home the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur, and there indeed it has shave. And not only does it have the word shave, there are instructions. It says explicitly, Yikra HaMakri. Make no mistake about it. The Makri shall call out shave. Okay, it makes clear. And then it says, make no mistake, V'yeshev HaTokeya Me'at. Explicit instructions. The Tokeya should sit down. Doesn't say a little bit. The Yisvade Kolechad Belachash Bein Sifsosav Umid, and everyone should confess Belachash Bein Sifsosav Umid. I guess means the people should remain standing. That's seemingly what Umid, and he should stand. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Yamot. The Yeshiv Hatokeh Ma'at. The Yisvade Kol Echad Belachash Bein Sif Soysov.
Then he Viyamod. Then he gets up.
Viyamod. That's what you wrote. You wrote something different over here. Okay, whatever it is. But it's you see from the Yachad Nesin, it's very clear that the Makri is should actually call out the word Shaif. There's a lot of, you know, it's not so similar. There's a Hefsek. There's a discussion among the poskim. How is the Makri even allowed to say Tekiya, Shvarim Teruah, Tekiya? Why isn't this considered? So maybe that's good for when it comes to each set. But let's say, for example, the very first Tekiya.
That's what I like, is what they're supposed to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The very first?
Yeah. Rav Shapta said he was once a Rav in a shul.
Yeah.
He held halacha, really, that the first Tekiya you shouldn't say.
You should not say.
So he told about Tekiya. Okay, you just
blow the first Tekiya, yeah.
That he points
so
to. He can point.
That he never did it again.
Very interesting.
By the silence from an Esra, the guy could point
to the task.
Well, you can point to all everything. If you don't want to be mafsik, you can point to every single part of the tefillah. Okay, but it's definitely an issue that is discussed by the poskim. Why should it not be a hefsik for the makri to call out the kia? And at kedei kach, the makri. Okay, and we should go so far. The makri should say shave to sit down. Obviously, there's something very important about sitting down. That's part of the nature of the tekiyas, which Rav Yaakov Emden, which we see from that from the Machzor from Yaakov Emden, explicitly says that he shall call out. We mentioned from that from the Vinag Var Mijah. Not only does he call it out, he screams, he's goyer, he shouts the word shave. Okay, let's go to another topic, another idea. We have four editions in the Nusach HaTel. We mentioned this very briefly. Listen, I want to expand upon it a little more. We have four editions into the Nusach HaTfil during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah, Zochreinu Lechayin, Melech Chafetz Bachayim, V'chaseinu Sefer Chayim, L'man Chalukim Chayim. We said in the first bracha. Then we have, the second mention is, we have, Michamecha Afrachanim, Zochreinu Yitzuv Lechayim, Berachamim. Then we come to Uchasoiv, right before we include Modim, Uchasoiv Lechayim Tavim Kol B'Dei V'Risachon, and notice here it says, Lechayim Toivim. Upgrade. Okay, we upgrade, because when we begin, when we start Zochreinu Lechayim, we do not say Lechayim Toivim. We just say Chayim. When we come to Michamocha, Afrach Mizucha Yisuv Lechayim, we do not say Lechayim Toivim, just Lechayim. When we get to Chesoiv, oh, look at this. We are not satisfied. Okay, we're tough customers. Upgrade, we want the Chayim Toivim. We come to the Sefer Chayim, we say the Sefer Chayim, Nacham Abracha V'Shalom U'Farnas Toivim V'Nizachav Nikas V'Nach Anach V'Chalom V'Chalom V'Yishol L'Chayim Toivim. An upgrade Toivim L'Shalom Baruch Atah Hashem. Fine. So the question here is, he just wanted to bring out, there are three customs as to, does the tzibur, do they respond, do they when the shliach tzibur reaches, maybe goal of nevenim l'man shmo be'ahava, does the tzibur preempt the shliach tzibur by saying zochreinu l'chaim? Now all of us, we are familiar at least during the week. Okay, now let's not focus for the moment on Rosh Hashanah itself, but let's focus now during the aseres yimei tshuva, during chazaras hashatz. I don't think we've in any other shulam where it's otherwise, we all preempt the shliach tzibur, and we all say, Zachreinu l'chaim, Micha mocha, v'chosov l'chaim, tov b'sefer chaim. That's what we all are familiar with. And what about on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So I think most shuls that we go to, we do exactly the same thing. All four parts of the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we do all four. If you look very carefully in the art scroll Machzor, they don't tell you, they only tell you, if I'm not mistaken, they only tell you to respond to the last two. Zachreinu Uchsov L'Chaim Tovim and B'Sefer Chaim Tovim. They do not instruct you. People do whatever they want to do. It's our custom that we do respond, but they do not instruct you to preempt the Shliach Tzibur with Zachreinu L'Chaim and Uchsov L'Chaim and Micha Mocha. Indeed, that is one custom. That is one. That is one very legitimate custom. I'm trying to dwell upon why that is so. That appears to be the Ikar Minhag. The Ikar Minhag is even now. The problem is the Ikar Minhag is even during the week, even during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Somehow it crept into our liturgy to do something that's not traditional. It's not traditional to say the first. We do it for whatever reason we do it.
We got into a habit.
We got into a bad habit. But it's not the way it was meant to. It's only. There has to be. Well, there's another. Only the last two. The only Ikar Minhag is to say the last two out loud to preempt the Shliach Tzibur, but not to preempt the Shliach Tzibur for the first two. On Rosh Hashanah, indeed, some shuls, they don't say it. I daven Chaim Berlin, it's muffled. I think it's out of ignorance. I don't think it's because anyone knows any different than anywhere else. It's just because they're not following, because now you don't know where the Shliach Tzibur is up to, because you're piyutim. You're saying piyutim. You're saying misoy. You're saying these little piyutim, these little letters, and you don't exactly. You certain things you skip. You say. You don't say. So you don't exactly know when you're up to Zachreinu L'Chaim. And all of a sudden you hear the Shliach Tzibur say Zachreinu L'Chaim, and it's, oh wait. I missed. Where was I? I was sleeping. You weren't sleeping. It's just that you're not accustomed to the nusach during the week. Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we know the nusach bal peh. So when you come to Laman Shmo B'Yahav, everyone is on there. Everyone is awake. You right away perk up and you say Zachrin L'Chaim. But on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you're saying sleeping, you're saying piyutim. You don't exactly know where you're holding in the davening, so you forget to say it. If you would know where you're up to, probably you would love to right away say before the Shliach Tzibur. However, you should know that's not correct, because the Yikramin. Is. You should not even mean saying Zachreinu L'Chaim even during the weekday. Yeah?
That's the answer, because in Rosh Hashanah,
yeah,
it's a Muslim, you say Piyutim, so you don't say the first two.
Yeah. Yeah, but you do say
Piyutim. You start saying already Zachreinu L'Chaim, but you don't say Piyutim.
Okay, but the question is, what about the tzibur at the time of Chazaras Hashatz? Are you supposed to add these things into the davening? Then there's a minhag. I think it's the minhag Grah. Okay, in Minogra, I have to go see what they do in Yerushalayim. I don't know if they do this in Yerushalayim. You don't answer anything. Zero. Is that the way it is in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is Minogra, supposedly. Right? I don't know. They, everything in Yerushalayim is supposed to be Minogra. I don't know what that means. Chaim Berlin, they have a lot of Minhag Egra, but this they don't do. Chaim Berlin, all four things are said very nice and loud, and in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur they're very loud. Everyone says Zachreinu, the last two, everyone says, but the Gra explicitly says you're not supposed to do it. All four are not to be said by the Tzibur. All four are only said by the Shliach Tzibur and not by the Tzibur. So Sach HaKol, we have three Minhagim. A minhag to say them all four should be said. A minhag to say none. And the minhag to differentiate between the first and the last. Now, what's the lumnus? What's the logic to differentiate between the first and the last? So basically goes like this. The first two, Zechreinu L'Chaim and Micha Mocha Avrachamim, according to most commentators, are prayers for a life of spirituality. Olam Haba. Not Olam Hazeh, not for Gashmis. The last two of Uchasov L'Chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'Risecha and for B'Sefer Chaim Tovim Harnasa and all those things, that is for Gashmis, for this world. So that's the first Yisod. Now the question is, therefore, during, when we're asking for Ruchnius, for we're asking for matters of Ruchnius, then we don't we let the shliach tzibur represent us. I guess it's more delicate, since it's matters of spirituality. So let the shliach tzibur represent us. That would be better. When it comes to gashmius at the end of the Shemona Esrei, it's not considered to be as serious as spiritual matters. So then we actually chime in with the shliach tzibur, studying along those lines. Another answer, which is a little more satisfying, is as the tefillah goes on, we become more comfortable with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why at the end of the Shemona Esrei we ask L'chaim Toivim. As we said before, the first two bakashos, there is no mention of good. L'chaim, zochreinu l'chaim. Mi chamocha af rachamim, zoche yitzurav l'chaim berachamim. It's only the last two do we say, uchasov l'chaim toivim. B'sefer chaim brach of shalom, at the end we conclude, l'chaim toivim, at the end of Shemona Esrei. Again, we say b'sefer chayim tovim, anachnu chalam chabeis shol l'chayim tovim u'l'shalom. Therefore, here's the catch. After we, in our silent Shemona Esrei, have already upgraded to l'chayim tovim, it's not proper to downgrade, to backtrack, and during Chazaras HaShatz only ask for chayim. That's what he says. That's basically what he says in Rav Teshner. He brings source for this. That's the lumdus why we differentiate. Because we've already dived in the private Shemona Esrei. We've already reached the Madrega L'chaim Toivim. You don't want to go down and only say L'chaim. That's a very interesting time, why we differentiate between the two. Okay, let's go to another idea. The concept of a Tekiah Gedoila. Where does it come, a Tekiah Gedoila? The truth is it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as Tekiah Gedoila. It crept into our liturgy. It's a very bizarre, very difficult thing to trace. It does say in Shulchan Aruch that there is a Tekiah Gedoila that's a solo Tekiah Gedoila that was meant to be blown after all of the tekiyas. In other words, we blow 100 tekiyas. We blow 30, right? Tekiyas, the yeshiva, to the meet the total of 60, and then we blow the extra 6, the extra 40 at the end, or whenever you break it up, how you want to break it up during Chazaras HaShatz, with during the Sal Shemesh, but we blow another 40. At the end, to be mashlim, the 100 sounds corresponding to the 100 cries of the mother of Sisra, as we mentioned. Then, when davening is over, it says to the Mechaber, we blow Tekiah 101, like a crash course. 101, shofar blowing 101. What's 101? Just a Tekiah Gedola. Just why? In order to tell people it's over. It's over. Right? To be mavdil, you can now go home, you can talk Lashon Hara, you can do whatever you want to do at home. Davening is over. It was the people keeping track of the numbers. 1, 2, 3. They couldn't wait until they got to 100.
And the Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, that's also a discussion. What exactly you blow?
Yeah.
You blow a sad, you blow Tekiah Gedola, many minhagim, and achnam, Tekiah Gedola. It's over. For Yovel, yeah.
It's very interesting. B'shas v'chomo, when they have the sirens going.
They're the trumpets, not shofars here.
They start off with, when he finishes, they're all clear.
Okay.
Could
there be some truth to that? There is something. That is where the Tekiah Gedola, the original Tekiah Gedola, somehow it crept into our custom. I don't know the sources. That the very last tekiah, instead of being a tekiah, should be a tekiah gedola. It's halachically problematic. Because the tekiah that is before and after is supposed to equal the same length as the trua.
Right.
We have a drasha for this. That's why when you blow tekiah shvarim to a tekiah, the tekiah before and after are very long. It's also the 18 sounds, because the trua is 9 sounds, the shvarim is 3, 6, 9, so it's a total of 18. That means each tekiah, the tekiah before and the tekiah after, are equivalent to 18 short sounds. When they blow a tekiah shvarim tekiah, it's a very short tekiah. It's a tekiah of 9 sounds. You're not allowed to make it too long. And when you blow the tekiah shvarim tekiah, those are short tekiahs. The tekiah shvarim tekiah is 18 sounds. So when you blow the very last tekiah, it's always after a teruah. It's always after a tour, tekiya, tour, tekiya. So it's not supposed to be more than 9 sounds. Tekiya gadol, some bali tekiya, they like to show off. They like to show off. And they go on and on and on.
When they finish, you tell them, now they did tekiya
gadol. Now? That's a tekiya gadol. Very good, okay. So they go on. So it's halachically not so simple. However, halacha... I'm sorry, minog mevatel halacha. For some reason, it's not proper. It's not proper. Minog mevatel halacha became this tekiya gadol became. Now, it's problematic enough to do a tekiya gadola at the very, very end. Unfortunately, for some reason, this all depends. They do have each say. Do they? Do they not? There are different customs. There's no set rule. Every rabbi, I wonder if Rabbi Shachter did. I'm really curious to see how he handled the tekiya gadola. Okay, people that want to minimize the problem of making the tekiya gadola only do it at the very, very end. And people who are more abusive of halacha will do it at the end of each seder, after the first 30, the next 30, and then the very, very end. Now, there is one makar I can tell you why there should be a tekiya gadola at the very, very end. And that comes from a medrash based upon a pasuk in Yeshaya. We mentioned the reason why we blow 100 sounds corresponds to the mother of Sisera. We have a tradition, the mother of Sisera cried 100 sounds in tsar as to witness the return of her son. And we discussed that, why would we focus on the mother of Sisera? Really, we're referring to the mother of Sarah. Sarah Imenu. She cried when she heard that Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah and was almost killed. But there's another makar as to why we blow. We have a few more makaris. Why we blow 100 tekiyas? Now let's start with a simple reason. We have halacha. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach Kim Liyira Oisa. What do we learn from this pasuk? Al Tikrei Ma. It's a very difficult drasha. Meya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make 100 brachas. Interesting, in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're so mocked, we're very mocked with Meya brachas. Everyone was looking for excuses. Meya brachas. What do you do when you make a bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Every single bracha you are declaring a Kadosh Baruch Hu as the king of the word Malchios. Rosh Hashanah is the mother of all Malchios. That's the day of Malchios. So when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 sounds, just like we make 100 brachos every single day based upon the pasuk Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Neimach Kiyim Liyire Oiso. And when we make a bracha, in essence, what we're doing is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. You are the king of the world. We acknowledge. We do that 100 times a day. So don't you think on Rosh Hashanah, when we're coming to declare Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech Al Kol Haaretz, V'Hoyah Hashem LeMelech Al Kol Haaretz, Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Shem Echad, that we should at least do what we're supposed to do every single day? Mo Hashem Lekech Shol Neimach, Mo Al Tikri Mo Ela Neya. Okay, that's part one. Now let's go to part two. Every single person here, I assume, was born. I assume you came from a mother. Right? No one came out of the ground. Right? Mustama, everyone over here, I'm making an assumption. I don't know if it's true, but I'm making an assumption. Every... What? Everyone came from a mother. That means every person here's mother experienced Tsar Chevle Leda, experienced birth pangs. It wasn't a pleasant experience for every single one of us to come into this world. Someone had pain. Okay, different levels of pain. Every person here, their mother experienced pain. Chazal tell us, this is very, that when a woman experiences birth, she has exactly 100 tzirin. 100, I should say one similar, she has 100 cries, 90, I should say 99. A woman in the process of labor, it's a chazal, I do have it over here, somewhere at least. 100 cries. Actually, we say that she has 70, there's a tradition, it's based upon the Mizmar, Lamatzech, Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara, there are 70 labor pains, 70 contractions. Is that true? I have no idea. You can research this online. Google it. See what it says on Google, how many contractions a woman experiences when she goes into labor. Seemingly, Chazal have just near 70. In the process of 70, she gives out a cry. There is tsar 99 times. And each of those 99 times, she feels, I'm going to die. In fact, that's why a woman has to do a carbon toida. She makes a neder. She's not going to have any more children. She's not going to have anything to do with her husband. It's extremely painful. Before the epidural. Today we have an epidural, so today everything has changed. But natural childbirth, that's what Chazal say. There are 99 cries, and each cry a woman is accursed. Be'etzev tel dibanim. Okay, be'etzev tel dibanim. Through pain does a woman give birth to a child. And the 100th cry is the cry of joy. That last cry which pushes out the baby comes to life, and you hear wah wah, the baby comes out. That cry that accompanies the child coming out, that relief, is a cry of life. A cry of joy, she made it. It's a Chazal. And it's based upon a pasuk in Yeshaya. Okay, it's an amazing pasuk in Yeshaya, which combines what I just told you, Mo Hashem Meah. What's the pasuk in Yeshaya? Perek Mem Aleph, pasuk Chof Dalid. There are many interpretations of this pasuk. The Pshut Shal Mikra, it's not very pleasant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us very powerful Musar, admonishing us, rebuking us for worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the pasuk simply says, Hein behold, Atem Me'ayin, human being, you are nothing. You come from nothing. You come from a tipas serucha. You come from nothing. You're a zero. Who do you think you are to behave in such a fashion? Ufo'olchem me'ofa, which simply means your deeds are comparable to a serpent. A me'afa, according to the Mitzudos, the Pashtunim, it's a snake. It's a poisonous snake. Only people that hang out with poisonous snakes are evil and demons. People of you don't want to hang out with. They're the ones who associate with this creature called the Me'afa. To Eva Yitchar, Bochem, and you, man, who come from nothing, who behave like a poisonous snake, you have chosen for yourself a life of abomination. The Pshut Shel Mikra is Hashem is telling you, Shai is telling Klal Yisrael, you're a bunch of Oyv Avodah Zarah. You're a bunch of good for nothings. You worship idols. You come from nothing. You behave like you do abominations, and you behave like poisonous snakes. The Medrash on this pasuk refers this to the time of birth. Man, like the pasuk says, you come from a tipos serucha. Ufa olchem, don't read me'ofa. Where me'ofa is spelled mem aleph pei ayin. Mem aleph is mo. Now, it's not as good as mo in the Torah, because mo in the Torah at least has the hey. But it's just like there, you're missing the aleph, so here we're missing the hey. The two go well together. Al tikri mo ela me'o. So take the first two letters and the next peyayin. Peyayin is a pia, which means a cry. It's short for a cry. Peyayin. Peyayin hey means to cry, an expression of cry. Mea pa'oyos. It says there concerning Sisra, she cried 100 times. Mea pa'oyos. Pa'olchem. A woman had to be pa'oyel, had to act forth 100 expressions of cry in order for you to come into this world. You come, you are nothing. Your source is a source of pain. There were 100 cries, of which the Medrash says 99 were for pain, and the last was for relief. So it's really a pasuk. So therefore, that's also why, another reason why we blow 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is Hayoim Haras Olam. It's the day when the conception, the world is compared to the process of birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He planned the world, He conceived the world, He was in labor with the world, He was pregnant with the world, and He gave birth to the world. And Adam HaRishon was born on Rosh Hashanah. The Aleph Tishrei is the sixth day of creation, the birth of man. The birth of man is the crown jewel of creation. It's the time Kaviyachol, where Kadosh Baruch Hu, after all the malachim were advising Hashem, don't create the world. There were many koilei subrakim. The world should not be created. It's a world of churban. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu overcame and said, Mazel Tov, the world shall come into creation. It's the 100th, it's the culmination of the 100th cry that brought forth man to this world. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, Hashem blew breath into the nostrils of man, and we also blow, and we blow 100 kolos to remind us that today is the creation of man, and man comes from nothing, but man comes into this world through 100 cries, 99 of which are with a machshava of this is a disaster, but the last cry is a cry of simcha. We're here already. Let's make the best out of it. That's the difference between 99 and 100. It makes now sense why there should indeed be a tekiah gedola. Because the last tekiah, it's not the same. The last tekiah is the last one, which is the one which brings life. The other 99 are, we're in a lot of trouble. A woman says, oh no, what's going to be over here? But that last one is a tekiah of simcha. Finally, it's over. The baby is here. Let's make a shalom zachar. Let's make a bris. Let's make a wedding. Let's send him to college. Let's take out a second mortgage. All the plans are coming to fruition with the tekiah gedola. So indeed, there is a makar. But to go so far, make a tekiah gedola after the other sets, that's already a little bit of a push. And listen, I think that's the minig ha'olam. The minig ha'olam is more often than not, everyone does after each set, tekiah gedola. Okay, a couple of more things, but we'll stop for now. We'll stop here.